This is the Intellectual Challenge on CII.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. As we welcome you to the last edition of the Intellectual Challenge, and this is before the noble month of Ramadan. And as we eagerly await this glorious month of mercy and Allah's blessings, it is also time for us to do some introspection, evaluation. And as we reflect, we look within ourselves as individuals, as families, as communities, and as a global Muslim ummah. We cannot shy away from the fact that in recent years, Muslims all over the world have been through turbulent times. And maybe this evening what we'd like to do is to follow up from last week's show, where we had a discussion with Dr. Pauline Baker. The views that she expressed, especially surrounding Al-Qaeda, the involvement in 9/11. And this is a question that I'd like to raise tonight. Why would a person like Dr. Baker, an educated person, and also millions around the world, hold these views, and despite the truth that is actually staring everyone in the face? Today, the slogan often repeated is, where there's smoke, there are Muslims. And this sentiment is not only expressed in the United States, in many other parts of the world, mainly in Europe. And just to cite a few examples, critics of Muslims contend that two of Europe's most legally tolerant regions, and these are the countries of Belgium and the Netherlands, they are now become the main breeding ground for Muslim fundamentalist terrorist groups. These critics also contend that something rotten is in Denmark, where there are about 200,000 Muslim immigrants who are trying to dictate their anti-Israel, anti-America and anti-Western values upon 5 million Danes. In Sweden, 1 out of 22 Swedes are now Muslims, and 400,000 Muslims in the country. This is now leading to a drastic increase in anti-Semitic acts against Sweden's Jews. Moving on, it gets even more interesting because there are more than 2 million Muslims who have soaked into Germany, 1 million in Italy, 200,000 in Spain, 500,000 in Belgium. Half of all babies born in Belgium today are Muslims. So in total, you're looking at about 11 million Muslims who have saturated Western Europe. And what the critics further contend, that during the mid-14th century, Europe was in a deadly grip of a black plague. Today, the green plague of Islam will transform Europe, and Islam may become the greatest murdering force in the history of mankind. Now, against this background, against these sentiments tonight, we're talking to none other than Daryl Bradford-Smith. He needs no introduction to Channel Islam International. We're going straight across to France. We say good evening, Daryl Bradford-Smith.
Hello, Inayat Wadi. It is very, it is a very great honor, sir, for, to be invited onto your program for this type of discussion. You know, I've got a lot of facts that will refute all, every point you just made by these spinners of lies. And the reason they're lying is complex. But if you boil it all down, it's about a group of criminals trying to take over the world by destroying two of the world's great religions. And as they put both of those two great religions against one another, they sit back and orchestrate the terrible crimes around the world. And I can actually give a lot of examples of that, and I'm looking forward to doing that tonight.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to talking with you, Daryl, as well. Now, Daryl, you know, let us just go back to the origins and the reasons why Islam is under attack. Why do you think this is the case?
Well, let's take a look back at some of the, it's from the 1970s on, but we can go all the way back to the Basel, Switzerland conference of Theodor Herzl. But let's go to the present, to the last 35, 40 years. It was a policy decision that was made in Europe to bring in Islamic and Muslims from Islam into Europe intentionally. The Spanish brought Moroccans, the French brought Algerians, the Germans brought Turks, the British brought Pakistani, the Italians brought a mix, actually. And across Europe, you'll find each country selected a single nation from which to draw immigrants from. Now, initially they said it was because their factories needed workers, and it was because they said that they were open to having new workers come from the Islamic regions to work in their factories. I think there was a more sinister plan involved. What the plan was, was to create a minority in each one of these nations. Each one of them would be around 6 to 7%. You'll notice that in France we have 7% Algerians. You'll notice that the Pakistani group in Britain is about 5 or 6%. What you ended up with is in each nation a minority. As the plan unfolded, each one of these minorities were subsequently stopped from having good jobs. They were treated terribly in these home countries. In these host countries. They were not given access to good schooling. They were not given access to good housing. They were not given access to anything that would help them integrate into the societies that they arrived in 20, 30 years earlier. This was not a mistake. It was intentionally done to create anger and enmity within those communities. Then they stopped completely offering the young people any options for their lives. You'll notice that in the ghetto regions surrounding all large French cities are enclaves of poor and poverty-stricken youth who have lost their faith in Islam, but they've also ended up with no job prospects and nothing to show for their lives except for basketball sneakers and headsets and some cell phones and public assistance. So they're taking out their anger at no activity economically and no options within that society against the society. Then the press says, see how terrible Islam is. See how terrible Muslim infiltrators are in our nations. They're doing it with the Turks in Germany. They're doing it with the Moroccans in Spain. They're saying the same thing about Pakistanis in England. And they're saying the same thing in France and Sweden and Denmark. The reasons for this are to create hatred between Christianity and Islam. Ultimately, in a battle between these two forces, so that the people left standing at the end will be Zionist criminal Jews in the controlling positions as they have always been. Now, this is not just a theory that I have. All it takes is for you to look at the situation and how it's come to be, who made the decisions along the way, and what the result has been. And now that these two cultures are starting to battle one another, it's the people who set this up that are to blame. The Christians are not being informed correctly, and the Muslim community is not being told the truth. And so what's happening is they think they're each other's enemies. In fact, they should be turning their ire and their anger to the people who orchestrated the hatred, and that is Zionist Jews. And that is the whole thing in a nutshell.
Well, Daryl, so what you are saying, and just understanding in terms of what you are saying, this was actually a deliberate agenda, a well-calculated, well-thought move, and that is why, you know, when you talk of this sinister plot, you look at the objectives behind the sinister plot. You talk of, you know, a deliberately 5 to 6% of the population obviously make up Muslims in the most terrible conditions. So you're saying that, you know, at the end of the day, these people are there to fulfill a particular purpose and a particular agenda.
Yeah, that is exactly the case. And what we've got, what we're starting to see now, you see, if you had asked the Europeans to back fighting in the Middle East, they would turn to you and say no. Now, if you can vilify Islam and in the home country and make the public in the home country despise the minority that they say is parasitically sucking off their country, which is what their press tells you, what they don't tell you in the press is that the government has intentionally kept opportunity from that group. It doesn't tell you that they have allowed racial discrimination to exist in those societies liberally. What they don't say to you is the reasons why these youth have lost their faith in Islam and the reasons that are the problems fomenting under the surface. What they say instead is that you should fear Islam, that you should fear the rise of the Middle Eastern Islamic nations, and thereby talking their publics into supporting war, supporting conquest, supporting genocide, and supporting violence against Islamic countries. And by the way, this same agenda exists in Russia, and it has always existed in Russia. And I'm going to break open the ice right here a little bit and tell you that Vladimir Putin is not a friend of Islam in any way. His declarations of support are a fraud, and in fact, he's still working for Zionist Judaism. And in fact, when the dust settles after what they've got planned, it's going to be the same people in control, but more so. And so we can get into the reasons why I just made that statement in a little while. But yeah, the whole thing is clearly a setup. They've got the organs of the press to push their story forward. There are very few places like CII in the world that have the opportunity or are given the chance to really give the truth out there. You can't believe the kinds of things that research will bring forward in this argument.
Now, Daryl, we know the situation in Europe. You've spoken about Russia and in many other parts of the world. The United States, the situation has been somewhat different compared to Europe because the United States of America, didn't have the colonialist mentality that Europe had had. And where does the U.S. fit in this entire equation?
Well, they did have a colonialist bent. They have colonized Central and South America for a couple of centuries. They destroyed the Hawaiian kingdom, killed off their people through disease, and deposed the king of Hawaii back at the turn of the century when Europeans were doing that. They took over the Philippines. They took over Saipan, and they went in, and they've actually, through their economic system, have colonized most of the world. Now they used a different way of colonization as the development of finances became more prevalent in our world. However, colonization is the only word you can use for it, whether it be economic or otherwise. But the simple truth of the matter is that the European Zionists that run Europe also run America from Europe. Now they have their foot soldiers. They do have their henchmen on the ground. They have Solomon Brothers. They have Lehman Brothers. They have Goldman, and they have the Sachs family, and they have, you know, they have all of the foot soldiers within George Bush's administration. They have the CFR, as you mentioned earlier. Pauline Baker is a consul on foreign relations member. They have their organs of power within the United States, and they orchestrate that from here in Europe.
Well, talking of Dr. Pauline Baker, and I know you called into the program last week, and what you mentioned to me is with regard to the CFR, was that also a Zionist orchestrated organization?
It certainly was, and the forerunner to that organization that came about, and you'll recognize the name because Cecil Rhodes had something to do with the formation, was the Royal Institute for International Affairs. Now, that Royal Institute of International Affairs was, they called it the Round Table, but it was actually propagated by Jewish Zionist power. Now, again, I'm going to make a caveat statement here. Not rank-and-file Jews in the world know that this goes on. This is the power brokers we're talking about. Most Jewish people are not even aware of this crime conspiracy, this crime wave. They've been lied to like many of the rest of us. But this group set up a sister organization in the United States called the Council on Foreign Relations. They have always worked together. They were spawned from the same fishbowl, if you will, and they gave birth to many other organizations, such as the Stanford Research Institute. They gave birth to Vail, Colorado Institute, which Dr. Pauline Baker belongs to. They gave birth to Tavistock and many others. They used Tavistock as a way of controlling and learning how to control people through media. The facts that come out in research are frightening. They are frightening because what they've done is when they set up an organization to help control the world, they use the people that they're controlling to pay for the bills for it. In other words, us sheep down below here are paying for our own demise. When these organizations go out and control education, they make the people they're controlling pay for the organization.
Mm-hmm.
It's astonishing how this all works. And they recruit the best and the brightest. They indoctrinate them in ways that these people think they're actually, you know, oftentimes doing good for the world. But at the top levels of leadership, they know darn well that this is a sinister plan, much like the United Nations is a sinister plan. And anybody who's looked into that organization also knows that it was built and put into the world by these same criminal banking forces, media forces, and supremacists worldwide. So, and these aren't just musings and rantings on my part. The information has been sussed out in many documents. If you go to IamTheWitness.com, there are over 7 gigabytes of research information on the website. But more than that, I have brought on over 800 hours of radio interviews of people as different as Ralph Nader. I've had him on 3 times. We've talked to generals, to heads of from the CIA who have quit in disgust. I talked to Dennis Halliday, who ran third in charge of the United Nations, the governor general of Iraq, quit his job after 27 years, disgusted with what he saw the United Nations doing to innocent people. The facts are, is I've done the research, so these statements I'm making are not from the hip. They are factual in every respect.
Absolutely. The time, 23, see the all-powerful neocons, and maybe we need to just touch a bit on the neocons, you know, their origins and their role in U.S. foreign policy, especially against the Muslim world.
Well, let's go back and do a little statistical analysis for a moment. The Jewish population in the United States is somewhere in the vicinity of 2.5% of the population, so every 2.5 persons in 100 is Jewish. In George Bush's leadership, it's over 75% of the leadership is Jewish. And now, if I said this to you, there are 2.5% Mongolians in America, but 75% of the government is Mongolian, people would be up in arms about that across the United States. They'd say, wait a minute, that group has too much power. Something's wrong here. This isn't okay. There's a disproportion of power in the hands of Mongolians. And the fact of the matter is that if you say something like that the Zionist Jews have too much power in America, you're called, of course, an anti-Semite. I don't point out the fact that people are Jewish or not Jewish because I wish to call upon their Semitic or non-Semitic heritage, but rather their actions and their acts that they have taken over time indicate a crime network, indicate a syndicate, if you will, a mafia, if you will. And it goes back into history quite a distance. We can see participation of this syndicate as far back as the American Revolution. We see the syndicate trying to subjugate America in the War of 1812 when they forced Britain into an attack on the Americans for a second time after they lost the first Revolutionary War. You'll see that they tried to set up their private bank, their usury bank, several times in the 1800s, 1820s, 30s, and 40s. They were thwarted many times. They were successful many times. But then you saw them really have the coup d'etat that took America away from the Americans and put it into the pocket of Zionist criminality. That was the implementation of the Federal Reserve Act, which was voted on Christmas Eve when nobody was in Congress. Just a few people showed up. It was never ratified by the several states. In other words, the individual states didn't ratify this, which is required by law. It was shoved through, and since that day, we have been victimized by usury. A good example is when the Federal Reserve was implemented, a dollar bill was worth $1. Let's say what it is today. It's worth 94% less than it was in 1913. That means 6% remains from what you had 97 years ago. Point being, they have parasitically used their systems, their organizations across America to enrich themselves. Oh, another nice statistic. 7 out of 10 billionaires in the world are Jewish. 7 out of 10. But in the world's population, only one person in 25,000 is Jewish. How could it be that 7 in 10 billionaires are Jewish, but only 1 in 25,000 happens to be from the Jewish community? These kinds of statistics make me sick when I read them. And the fact is, when we're faced with these facts and we know what's going on and we try to tell others, there is a built-in response people have against listening. And it's because they have been terribly indoctrinated through the control of of the press, both in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, ABC, NBC, CBS. You look across France, every single major news outlet in France, all of them in Britain, B Sky B, even Al Jazeera is owned by two Jewish men from Britain. The fact of the matter is that there's no place for us to get the truth, and there's no place for us to learn the facts. So what ends up happening is we get poisoned by the foods they give us. They lower our intellect by giving us fluoride in our water, making us 10% to 15% less intelligent. They use the media to bombard us with lies and with manipulation, and then they parasitically hive off tens of billions, even trillions, every decade from the world's population and put it in their pockets to become stronger. Now, when we try to rise up against it, we're either called a hate criminal or a somebody who's crazy, or in fact, we're outright gotten rid of. We're assassinated. We're looking at these same kinds of problems in governments throughout the Middle East. Most of the governments in the Middle East are puppet regimes of this crime wave, of this crime network. And we can get into who those criminals are later on, but the fact is the country you're broadcasting from is riddled at the top with the same kind of control. So what are we to do as a population here? I mean, when I found out these facts, I couldn't believe that what I was reading turned out to be true. I wanted it not to be true. I wished it were something that I made a mistake on. And instead, as I've gone forward with my learning, I have found out that it's worse than I thought originally.
Daryl, let's just talk a bit about these decision makers, you know, who manipulate our lives. And you spoke of fluoride and in many other ways where people are actually manipulated and subjugated. Now, on the one hand, we have been talking about the neocons, but all the other lobbies, the lobbies that actually exist within the United States of America, these lobbies have actually become more than just another lobby. In fact, they work for unconditional support for Israel at any cost. And, you know, especially an organization like AIPAC, in working in their interests, you know, their interests and America's interests are basically the same. And this is what actually rubs off on the decision makers, and this is what is perceived by most elected leaders in the United States of America.
Well, you know, again, let's go back to the neocons and their relationship to AIPAC and how these other politicians, congressmen, senators, are working for AIPAC. You know, the neocons. You can look at people like Wormser and Kagan and Fleischer and Libby, and there's so many of them. But you can go on for an hour naming people in George Bush's administration. But they're the same on the Democrat side with Rahm Emanuel and many others. The problem is here with the AIPAC, politicians who they outright are interested in promoting Israel, such as Joe Lieberman or such as Barbara Boxer or such as Jane Hartman or Mr. Nye or Schumer. Those people are working for Israel 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, not for the American public. But many other congressmen have picadillos in their closet. These people have been caught early on in their careers, either with a homosexual background or with a pedophile background or with an embezzlement that they got caught doing. And what happened was they were approached by these forces and said, here's the way it's going to be. If you want us to tell on you for embezzling, we will do that. However, if you'd like to continue with what you're doing, we will keep our mouths shut, but you, from this day forward, work for us. Now, that, you know, that has happened in all the main control points in the United States. Then they used the judicial system by infiltrating judges, by approving almost entirely Jewish judges. For example, Judge Hellerstein in New York City is the judge keeping everyone from looking at the truth about 9/11. But you'll also find the Court of Appeals is riddled with these Zionist supporters at the judicial level. So the implosion of America's republic is complete. There is no freedom in the United States, and anything that they're exporting from the United States is not the American public's export, but rather this criminal gang is in control. And, you know, you'll find that this has happened in history many times in other places, but we're living through it now. This situation with AIPAC, of course, when you look at the amounts of money that they're bringing into campaigns, it's obscene how much they raise and how much they give for destruction of candidates they don't want to be there. Cynthia McKinney is a good example. They wanted this woman out of her office. So New York Jewry, through AIPAC, put up millions of dollars for the opponent to her to run against this woman. And they slandered her. They put lies about her in the press. They spread rumors about Cynthia McKinney. And lo and behold, Cynthia McKinney lost.
Mm-hmm.
No surprise there. Well, that happens wherever they get resistance. The idea that they control America through any means possible or necessary is quite evident.
Daryl, I know you've come under a lot of criticism, and you know, many people perceive you to be anti-Jewish. And maybe I need to ask you this question. You know, are you anti-Jewish? Because, you know, when one looks at even a country like the United States of America, looking at the Jews in America, there are many moderate voices. And on this radio station, you know, I've spoken to Jews. I've spoken to people like Professor Tanya Reinhardt out in Israel. I've spoken to a Jewish rabbi. And these are, you know, moderate voices who actually don't agree with what the Zionists are actually doing. So there seems to be, you know, obviously differences of opinion in terms of, you know, the power and the stranglehold that the Jews have got. Just your thoughts on that.
Well, first of all, let's define what group I'm talking about here. You know, when they call me an anti-Semite, the fact is the people I'm complaining about are not Semitic. They're from a region called Khazaria. They are blue-eyed, light-skinned, of Russian mixed, Russian steppe region in Georgia, where this battle is going on, is where they originated from. The simple fact of the matter is, no, I have friends. I'll give you a good example. I have lots of friends in the Jewish community. When I was going to New York University studying there, of course, living in Manhattan is extremely expensive, and being a student at the time, I could barely make ends meet and still eat. Well, of course, who came to my aid for no other reason but kindness was a Jewish woman, and I befriended her and her son and became close to her in many ways because she was so kind. She's still kind. She is kind. She's a wonderful human being. And I take a stand here that all Jews are not involved. My friend in New York is not involved. I have friends I grew up with in my hometown that I know to this day. They're Jewish. They're not involved in this. The simple fact of the matter is across the world and across America, there are millions of Jews who are not aware of the depths of this crime wave, and they're not profiting from it, and they're not the decision makers. And for anyone to say that all Jews are doing this, or that this is a Jewish problem, no. This is a political problem called Zionism that is propagated predominantly through the Jewish community, but finds its roots also in Zionist Christianity, which you'll have millions of people that fit under that description. So the simple fact is, no, I am not in any way anti-Jewish. I am anti-criminal Jew.
Thank you for that, Daryl. We need to go to the marketplace. We need to pay a few more bills. A reminder to listeners, we're going to be opening up the lines after the Isha Adhan, 011-494-7007. Your text messages on 082-550-6384. Nine p.m. Central African Time. We continue talking with Daryl Bradford-Smith. Daryl, just before we went for the break, you were talking about Zionist Christianity, and I'd like your thoughts on the link between these Jewish lobbies like AIPAC and prominent Christian evangelists like Gary Bauer, Jerry Falwell, Rolf Reed, Pat Robertson, and you know, all of these guys actually believe that Israel's rebirth is a fulfillment of a biblical prophecy, and they support the agenda of the Zionist Jews.
Well, that is true, and it makes me wonder if they are not have not been working for the Zionist community in advance of their vaulting to leadership. You'll note that Christianity was changed under a rewrite of the Bible. The Bible's first text that was under the King James Version was given a interpretation by a man named Scofield. Now, that Scofield Bible, what it basically did was, in the margins of the book, it interpreted for the reader what the Bible was saying. Now, if you read the Bible, it is kind of written in a poetic parable form, where they use, you know, they use different stories to tell the truth about what the Bible is supposed to mean. Well, what they did was they said, well, most people aren't smart enough to figure out what these parables mean, so we'll tell you what it means. And what they did was they created this myth called a Judeo-Christianity. Now, if you take a look back in history, Judaism and Christianity have been opposites. They have been opposed to one another. There is in Christian doctrine throughout the ages, the Christians were subjugated through Jewish power. And the Catholic Church, before it was taken over by these interests, and that happened back in 1820, but before it was taken over, they fought desperately against the lies coming out of that group. So Scofield rewrote it. They said Zionism and all the new concept of being brought to heaven in the end times of Armageddon, you know, that you would be called back to heaven when Israel creates a mess worldwide through this rapture, which is not in the Bible. There's no rapture in there. This was a meta-texting done by Scofield in order for people to start backing the idea that Israel was going to be the controlling interest in these end times. And this whole idea has been pushed around the globe. Now, there are going to be people that know a lot more than I do about that emailing me, telling me I got it wrong, but I know I've got the general idea of that pretty close. So it's basically we're facing a group that has infiltrated Christianity at its highest level. You're right. Falwell, before he died, was a criminal, not like Pat Robertson, another criminal, Bauer, another criminal, and half of these men have been caught with their hands in financial dealings, criminal dealings. Pat Robertson is about money and about control, and he's, you know, Christianity is supposed to forgive and be generous. This man has called for people to be murdered on his television program, and you know, there is nothing Christian about these people in any way. And what's happening today is there is a resurgence of people within that Christian fundamental movement taking a re-look at these people. And there have been a lot of defections within their ranks. People are starting to find out they've been lied to. The ones that can get the fluoride out of their brains, at least. And so there is a battle going on within Christianity in the United States. And of course, the media keeps telling Christians and Americans that it's Islam is to be feared. Islam's going to destroy you. Islam's going to bomb you in your home and kill you. And the reason why we have to take your clothes off at an airport crossing, and it's all because of Islam, you know. And of course, when you look at who's pushing these lies into the public, it's the same forces we've been discussing.
Now, talking of these same forces, and you know, from what you've just described, Daryl, there is serious concern within America. You yourself are concerned. Now, the question we need to ask is, why has the U.S. been willing to set aside its own security and also many of its allies in order to advance its interests, you know, of these Judeo-Christian Zionists?
You've got to understand that Michael Chertoff, the man who's running the Justice Department, is a dual citizen Israeli. You've got to know that the guy that ran the Pentagon before he quit and took contracts from the Pentagon, a guy named Dov Zalkheim, who was responsible for trillions of dollars that went missing from the American government, is also a dual citizen Israeli. Rahm Emanuel, running the Democrat Party, dual citizen Israeli. The simple fact of the matter is America is not in charge of its government anymore. So, it's going to be easy to blame America. What you should be blaming America for is being stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is that I can blame on the Zionist forces as well. You can take a look at what they did with the Carnegie Foundation through the Flexner control, which was three brothers, the Flexner brothers, Benjamin, I forgot the other one, but three Flexner brothers. One was instrumental in forming Israel. The other one was instrumental in forming the Rockefeller Institute for Medical Research, which is responsible for poisonous vaccines and murderous drugs around the world. And then the third one was responsible for reinventing America's education, which was able to implement all kinds of dumbing down procedures on the American public. So they've been under attack for 100 years by these people. And the result is you've got a dribbling bunch of incompetent imbeciles walking the streets of America who haven't got the brains to know what they're doing. Now, there is a small minority of people waking up. They're starting to find out that the facts are not as they've been told. And they are learning, they're learning again what real history is. The internet has given us this opportunity. They're trying to take that away from us right now. Internet is a short-lived a fighting tool for us if they are successful in what they want us to do. They want to stop this information from going worldwide. You'll note that my website is banned in places all around the globe. It's unbelievable. You yourself tried to send me an email and you couldn't do it.
Yes, now I recall it was undeliverable, actually.
Yeah, well, the people around the world can't go to my website because my information is spot on. I mean, look at it this way. If I was full of nonsense, why would they bother doing this to me?
Mm. Well, Daryl, I just want to move away from the United States, and I just want to talk a bit about the UK. Obviously, the UK, Tony Blair and his cronies have been the main allies to George Bush in the war against terror. Now, we have been talking about AIPAC in the United States. You've got the Labour Friends of Israel, which in the United Kingdom, and this has become another powerful lobby group in the interest of the Zionists in the United Kingdom. Just looking at the UK, your views, your thoughts on what is happening in the United Kingdom.
Well, it's almost a parallel universe to the United States. I mean, since Oliver Cromwell illegally allowed the Jewish bankers back into Britain back in the early 1645, I believe the year was, the UK has fallen under Jewish control. Many of the royal families and lords of Britain had very serious financial problems a hundred years ago, and they married into Jewish money. And now names that seemingly would be British to you are actually Jewish controlled families. But you'll also find the Rothschilds centered in the city of London, that one square mile. This place is lock, stock, and barrel run by Zionist Jewish interests, and their government is bought and paid for in the exact same way as the Americans are. And you'll note that anybody who's ever tried to get traction in Britain, there's a man on my website named Archibald Maul Ramsey, a fabulous man, Sandhurst graduate, Eton School, elite family background, who told the truth about these criminals, and they put him in jail. They just flat out said, you are a criminal against the state, and you're going to jail for saying the truth. And they did. They incarcerated the man. He still wrote a book called The Nameless War, and he names names. He tells you who did it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get all of what you need from Mr. Ramsey's book. It will shock you as you read it.
Now, Daryl, talking of, what is actually going on in the United Kingdom just today, and I'm not too sure, whether you've read this up, but, Britain has in recent years become quite famous with regard to false flag operations. We've seen what has happened with 7-7. And today, again, the MI5 uncovered a plot, three men allegedly trying to kill Gordon Brown and Tony Blair. And, I think at the end of the day, what we're seeing is a media witch hunt against mainstream Muslims. And this is being orchestrated in the United Kingdom by the media. And what they're trying to do is to promote Islamophobia, but at the same time, what you're seeing with some of the media and these lobbies, they display a remarkable level of support for Israel, even when Israel is in violation of international law.
You're exactly right, and you will recall when the 7/7 incident murder that was perpetrated by Israel, America, and Britain against the British public. When they were trying to get traction for that first part of the lie, there were so many people out there on the internet ripping apart the lie. They had manipulated video cameras. They had piled up people's IDs on chairs and subway seats, and it was just a badly run operation, poorly covered up, and many people across Britain today know the truth. And it's really interesting, if you take a look at mainstream media across the United States and Britain, their listenership and readership are dropping precipitously in the face of the facts as they're starting to learn them. So you can have the media screaming at to the top of their lungs about the truth as they claim it's the truth, but the fact is, once you dissect it, you see it's lies, and the public in many ways is becoming aware of the lies. You know, I know people that are bobbies on the street, regular policemen in Britain. They walk the streets, they walk the beat. They come on vacation over here to France, and I've met them. They know the truth. I asked them, why haven't they stood up and said something? Oh, well, you know, everybody's afraid to lose their paycheck because of everybody's in debt. Again, usury. They've got their backs to the wall financially, so nobody's willing to stand up and take a risk to tell the truth, but they know the truth. And I believe both America and Britain, I would say between 5 and 7% of both countries, and this is just an estimate on my part, are aware of the facts in 9/11 and the rest of this whole thing. I think they know. Now, the rest of the 90%+ have suspicions. And it is my job and yours and the job of people around the world who do know the facts to try and inform as many people as we can, because if we end up not taking action today, and again, the quote that all tyranny needs to prevail is for good men to do nothing. If we do nothing, we will fall under the yoke of this information society. They will have us tracked and chipped and controlled through computer systems. You won't be able to travel, you won't be able to have a bank account, you won't be able to pass borders, you won't be able to do anything. So the fact of the matter is we are in a battle for our very lives as we speak. And I must tell you, the urgency that I'm saying this with is understated, not overstated.
Well, I suppose, you know, Daryl, I must have heard this about 20 years ago, and I couldn't believe it at that point in time when someone had actually mentioned to me, you know, in terms of being chipped and where people could actually, track you down wherever you are. And today, we actually see reality because, you know, I was actually quite surprised because a friend of mine once called me, and what she mentioned to me says, please just Google my name. And when I Googled the name, I found, wow, this person is a terrorist. Now, where is all this information coming from?
Well, we've got the NSA, the National Security Agency, working with British MI6, and of course the DST and here in France and other Zionist-controlled governments, putting together lists of people who are going to go up against this kind of control. Now, you know, in Britain, there's not a single corner of any city street that you're not being filmed on. And they've worked on face recognition software where, as you pass a camera, they can tell who you are through your face or the way you walk. They're going to make you walk around with a radio frequency card in your pocket. And as you pass a machine, if you're not carrying your card, it will tell the police to come and get you. The fact is, we're looking at George Orwell in reality. And yes, they do have the technology, and it's all coming to a real zenith right now. And what it allows them, see, they're not large in numbers. The only reason that they have the power they do is because they've got so many people duped. If these people ever found out how badly lied to they are, these people are in trouble. So what they need to do in order to be successful at controlling the rest of us, as they did in Russia with only 4,000 Jews that took over the entire country back in 1917, they need to be able to put into practice throughout the world systems that will multiply their force, and that will give them more power. So control over your bank account does that. Control over your movement does that. Control over the things you eat and the drugs you take. Having your children given drugs for ADD, which is thoroughly unnecessary. They give you Ritalin and all these other toxic drugs with fluoride and everything else in there, amphetamines in there and all kinds of stuff. What they do is they use a whole host of means to, as a multiplying force. In other words, there's only a few tens of thousands of these people worldwide running things, but once they put into practice all of these control mechanisms, they have a force that controls billions of people instead of just... You see what I'm saying? They can control so much once they put these things in practice.
So all of it is not a conspiracy theory?
Not a theory at all. In fact, every day new information is coming out that we have underestimated what they're doing.
Well, Daryl, we're going to have to go for a break now. When